Well, good morning. The title of today's message is Abortion, the Evil of Our Day. And it certainly is. It's detestable. It is barbaric. It's immoral. It's evil. And it's legal here in America, the home of the free and the brave. But our land has been polluted with the blood of innocent babies. Now, before I pray in a minute, of course, a bit of a content warning. This is not a G-rated sermon at all. If you're concerned for little ears, what they might hear, feel free to go into the library or the nursery. And if there's any point you feel like you need to get up and leave, that's fine. It won't offend me at all. But now, I'll add, I am sensitive to the fact. I know there are some who might hear this who've actually had an abortion or maybe encouraged someone to have an abortion or paid for an abortion. I understand that. But if you're a Christian, don't hear any condemnation here. You are cleansed and forgiven, and your sins are nailed to the cross. Well, I've got two goals. The goal of the sermon is twofold. I want it to be informative to you. I want to give you a lot of information. I want it to go into your brain. But I also want it to touch your heart. So your brain and your heart. And may the Lord help with that. Well, let's pray and we'll move on. Lord Jesus, we come to you. I'm so needy. We are all so needy. And we pray on this hard topic, Lord. Give your people, your church, give us a righteous indignation, a holy hatred for the sin of abortion. Help us to more clearly see it the way that you do. And we ask for your help again. Amen. Well, Psalm 106 says, they sacrificed their sons and daughters to demons and shed innocent blood, the blood of their sons and their daughters, whom they sacrificed to the idols of Canaan, and the land was polluted with blood. Inspired by the devil and demons, these ancient people of old, the Canaanites, the Ammonites, and sometimes even the Jews, they would sacrifice their little babies, their own children, to this idol Moloch. But imagine this really large metal statue and this big bull's head and the arms sticking out like this, glowing red hot from the flames. And a pagan priest, they would take the babies out of the arms of the parents and they would place the babies onto these burning hot arms. And of course, you'd hear the screaming and the drums are pounding in order to drown out the screams. But this scene, it's so horrific. It's so deplorable, such an abomination to God that he ordered any Israelite, any Jew that participated in this ritual was to be stoned to death. But believe it or not, child sacrificing, it's still going on today. Not to the ancient idol Moloch, but to the god of self and sex and convenience and money. And it's our national sin. But in America, what should be absolutely just unthinkable for a civilized people, it's sanctioned and it's even applauded by many today. And that includes our president, our vice president, our governor, many in Congress and on the courts. And God's going to deal with them and they will forever know how evil this was and that God really meant what he what he said. But it does prove that many Americans today, no different than the ancient idol-worshipping Canaanites. Now, where am I going with this sermon? First, I want to define what abortion is. I want to give some statistics and facts about it. I want to discuss why it is so evil and wrong. I want to tell you a little bit where it takes place and a little bit what it's like, you know, to be out there and fight against it, and some things we can do to stop it. So what is abortion? Google says it's merely a procedure to end a pregnancy. But it's not a routine medical procedure. It's not like getting a mole removed or a cyst removed. It is the intentional killing of little babies. Now I say it's a crime against humanity. It's premeditated. It's cold. It's calculated. It's cruel. It's the violent killing of babies. It's the ultimate act of selfishness, a complete disregard for human life. It's an affront to Almighty God and an attack upon His sovereignty. It's an attempt to play God. And I'll add this, it's demented, it's demonic, it's aligning with the devil. Now, the devil, believe it or not, we know this, he lusts for blood. He loves death, and he hates God, and he hates image bearers of God. And he's inspiring people to do this evil. It's hard for us to imagine how much the devil hates God and hates people. Well, people give all sorts of reasons, excuses for justifying their abortions. Most commonly, it's I'm not ready. It costs too much. My boyfriend won't marry me. I'm too young. I can go on and on with the so-called, with the excuses. I remember a guy was screaming at me out there at Planned Parenthood, "Don't you care about these young women?" Just screaming at me, "Don't you care about these girls?" I said, "Yes, I care about their eternal future, right? And I care about their babies." Now this, I'm going to move into kind of graphic. I'm going to tell you a little bit about different kind of abortions, but I think we really need to hear this. I really do. Or I wouldn't tell you. There's different kinds of abortions. There's the abortion pill, the chemical, it's chemical abortion. It's called the RU486. Mothers, basically, they ingest this poison into their body, and it causes them to have a miscarriage. And remarkably, if they decide, even up to 24 hours after they've taken that pill, if they decide not to go through with it, they can reverse it. But what happens is that these mothers will deliver a dead baby. One out of 12 times when they have this type of abortion, they have to go ahead and have a surgical abortion. Now, some of the side effects, these women can suffer and bleed up to 90 days, excessive bleeding. Now, get this. Here's how wicked Planned Parenthood is. They give these women these pills, this pill, late in the week. They know what they're doing. They give it to them late in the week because these girls, they're going to get nauseous. They're going to get a fever. They're going to get really sick. They're going to think they're about to die, right? Planned Parenthood doesn't want to be open when these girls are going through that. So they give it to them late in the week. They don't want the phone calls from these girls that are scared to death that they're dying. So it's late in the week, and then they often go to the emergency room. Now, there's suction abortions. It's essentially vacuuming the baby out of the uterus as if it's no more valuable than dirt, dust on the carpet. It's a very common kind of abortion. Now, I took this right off from the Planned Parenthood website. It says, quote, on their site, "It works by using suction to take out the pregnancy of the uterus." You see what they're doing? Pregnancy out of the uterus? Words matter. We know that here. Words matter. What are they taking out of the uterus? A baby. They're taking out a baby. There are saline abortions. That's essentially burning up the baby with saline salt solution. It burns the outer layer of the baby's skin. They're blinded. They suffocate. And they die a slow, agonizing death sometimes. They can writhe in pain for an hour and a half, 2 hours at times. Well, when they have these saline abortions, the mother again delivers a burned up, shriveled up little baby. It's horrific. There's a lady, Gianna Jessen. I don't know if you've heard of her. I'll mention her again a little bit later. But she actually, believe it or not, she survived a saline abortion. And can you imagine? Somebody asked you, where were you born? I was born at an abortion clinic in Los Angeles. And she said the abortion doctor, actually had to sign her birth certificate. Now, this is the most gruesome. This is the surgical abortions. It's the ripping apart. It's the dismembering, the decapitating, crushing the skull, pulling off the little arms and the legs. I know it's graphic, but the doctor takes the forceps, and they've got these little teeth on the end, and just starts pulling out arms and legs, and there's a metal tray here, and the doctor just methodically just puts these little pieces of the baby, and then has to make sure all the pieces are back together, almost like a puzzle, just to make sure he's or she's gotten the entire baby. Well, some sad and disturbing statistics. Since Roe v. Wade, which, you know, 1973, anywhere from 64 million to 70 million babies have been slaughtered in their mother's womb, which is supposed to be that safe place where a child could be. But giving you a little bit of perspective on that, think about, and not to minimize the Holocaust, the Jewish Holocaust, but Hitler's, that reign of terror, the Nazi reign of terror, he killed approximately exterminated 6 million Jews. So, I mean, look at the numbers there. Abortion is hands down, it is the leading cause of death in the United States. It's the leading cause of death in the world. 3,000 babies per day, 3 per minute, 1 out of 4 women have had an abortion. 45% of these women, they've already had one when they go in. 85% are unmarried, and the most common age for a woman to have an abortion is 20 to 24. Now, we hear all about these hard cases. You've heard of them, about rape, incest, health of the mother. Less than 1%. Less than 1% of those are needed. There was a panel in 2012, included all these medical professionals and doctors, and they got together and they said there is never a need to perform an abortion to save a mother. That's just excuses. Now, I'm going to move into why it's wrong. There are many reasons abortion's wrong, but I'm going to really hit on three. But first, we all know what's wrong. We all know, everybody knows abortion's wrong. Even, well, like with the atheists, I compare it with that. Atheists know there's a God. It's axiomatic. It's obvious. It's self-evident. We all know there's a creator, but what's the atheist doing? Suppressing the truth of what they know in unrighteousness. And the same thing with abortion. Everybody knows abortion is wrong. It's written on our heart. We know instinctively babies are more important than plants and animals. I don't mean to get too graphic, but again, I think we need to hear this. Women, you're cutting up vegetables, cutting off the head of a lettuce. That's fine. Cutting up babies. We know. Everybody knows that's evil. It's wrong to do. Babies are valuable. Made in the image of God. We don't eat each other. We don't drink blood. It's just obvious. Abortion is evil. And people, it's so strange. They can be more concerned about puppies, kittens, dolphins. Some of these people that we speak to, if they were doing the things they're doing to babies inside the clinic there, to their pet, they would have a fit if a doctor was doing that to their pet. Well, reason number one, abortion is so wrong. It's a violation of the sixth commandment. Do not murder. It's a gross violation of the sixth commandment of God's law. It's taking the precious life of a baby. It's depriving them of their life, their opportunity to live. I'm 59. I've lived a lot of my life. My uncle just died 2 days ago. He was in his 80s. He lived a lot of his life, but it is depriving these little ones of their opportunity just to live their life. Abortion violates that godly principle, do unto others as you would want them to do unto you. Abortion is worse than manslaughter. Manslaughter implies negligence. It's a bit of an accident. You know, think of it, you got two guys in a bar and they get into a fight and they're angry with each other, but the guy hits another guy, he falls, hits his head, he dies. That's manslaughter. It's not, he didn't probably want to just kill the guy. But abortion is premeditated. When a man and a woman, they go there to that clinic, they know what they're going to do. And it's disturbing. I think in some sense you'd have to see some of the things we see. Sometimes we see young girls dancing around. Dancing. And celebrating. And I remember once she's going like this. I mean, yes, some of these women are victims. I know that. Some are pressured to go. Their boyfriend pressures them. Their parents may pressure these girls. And maybe they deep down just don't want to do this. Don't want to do it. And they're pressured, and I really feel for them. But don't think all these girls are a bunch of victims, right? I mean, we've seen how they can act out there. Well, abortion is premeditated. It turns women into serial killers. That's what abortion does. A lot of these women, I've talked to women, had one told me she had 7 abortions. I've had 7 abortions. There was a lady I saw on Facebook. She had a t-shirt on. Said, I've had 21 abortions. And she was, that's hard to believe, but she was proud of it. So abortion turns young women and mothers and fathers, it turns them into murderers. They become like Cain, who belonged to the evil one, and he killed his own brother. Now, some of you may take offense to what I'm about to say and think it's wrong, but I don't. I will say sometimes to these women, I'll say, you wouldn't kill your father, your mother, your brother, your sister, your cousin. You wouldn't pay a hitman or an assassin to kill them, would you? Why would you pay this doctor to kill your very own son or your daughter? And we will tell these women, you are a mother. You're a mother already. If you go in there and kill your baby, you are the mother of a murdered child. Now, we all see that craziness, that inconsistency, insanity of the pro-choice logic. One minute, it's okay to kill the baby. The baby's in the mother's womb. And then all of a sudden, it passes through the 8-inch birth canal. And then if you kill that child, then it's murder. But it's okay right before then. It just makes no sense. Reason one, it's a gross violation. It's murder, a violation of God's law. Reason two, it causes incalculable, untold pain and suffering to these little babies. It's an undeniable medical fact that babies suffer extreme, excruciating pain going through an abortion. We are in a modern age. Technology, ultrasound, sonograms, you can see the little babies recoil and squirm and try to get away. We can see that. You ever heard about that silent scream? The silent scream, the baby screams. Of course, we can't hear them, but they open their mouth in the womb and they are screaming. Now, abortion always results in the death of a baby, except super extraordinary circumstances. Sometimes it results in the death of a mother. I know for a fact that at the abortion clinic here in Springfield, there's been 8 ambulance calls in the last 2 years to go there. Now, they only call. They're only going to call if it's an extreme case, life-threatening. They don't want the bad publicity. But 8 times they've had to call the ambulance. I had a grandmother not too long ago. She pulled up as I was preaching there, and she rolled down her window, and she said, "I'm here to get my granddaughter's medical records." She was very, very upset. "I'm here to get my granddaughter's medical records. They botched her abortion, and she almost died." I'm like, amen, you know, go get those medical records. Now, some long-term health problems that come from having an abortion: hemorrhaging, infections, damage to organs, perforated uterus, bowel obstructions, fertility problems, and an increased risk of breast cancer. Now, Planned Parenthood, they're liars. They lie on their website. Quote, "We are here to help. We provide safe abortions." Safe for who? It's never safe for the baby, right? 2 go into that clinic, and 1 comes out alive. But abortion, it wounds mothers, it wounds fathers, it wounds grandparents, boyfriends. It wounds them physically, emotionally, psychologically, and spiritually. I wrote this down. It's so self-destructive what happens to these people. They are setting themselves up, listen to this, for depression, anxiety, panic attacks, nightmares, insomnia, all kinds of ruinous things, relationship problems, difficulty bonding with children, drug and alcohol abuse, eating disorders, increased promiscuity. They'll do anything to dull the pain. And these effects last weeks, months, years. Sometimes their entire life. I will sometimes say, I heard somebody say it, and I say it too, if you go in there and do this, young lady, if you go in there and do this, you will not be the same person that when you come out. And that is the truth. Abortion causes such shame and weight of guilt. Do you know 8 out of 10 contemplate suicide? 3 out of 10 actually attempt it. I know some women who could tell you stories, don't have time, but just how the tears can stream and the things they felt. I recently heard about an actress in Australia who had an abortion and then she committed suicide. Abortion damages and ruins relationships. 80% of the couples that are together have an abortion, they break up. They break up soon after the abortion. In extreme case, I saw a guy, the girl comes out, he's waiting with COVID, he's waiting in the parking lot there, she gets out, goes to the vehicle, they're coming out of the parking lot, and they stop, I was talking to them, and next thing you know, this guy's kicking this young lady out of the car, and she goes walking up the street. Of course, I followed her. She had, it looked like almost like a diaper. She had just had that abortion. She's walking up the street. It was just minutes after she comes out from the abortion that he's done with her. Well, I followed her down the street, talked to her, tried to give her the gospel and whatnot, waited with her till her sister came and picked her up. Well, the devil, he hates babies. He hates relationships. He's about destruction and destroying people spiritually. That's the worst, is the spiritual impact on people. It damages souls. It causes them to be hardened, to be callous, not to love other people, not to love other kids that they might have as much as they would have. It makes them more resistant, I believe, to the gospel. I've had women tell me, I feel absolutely no guilt. This was the best thing I've ever done. And it just proves the point. You have been so damaged to think that way. Now, the third reason we should oppose abortion, it pollutes our land. We read that in Psalm 106. It pollutes, defiles the land. It angers God. It brings the judgment of God upon our land. I believe there are two gross sins that bring the wrath of God upon a nation. It is sexual immorality and it's abortion. And obviously we have abortion because of sexual immorality. Most abortions are 80, high 80 some percent because of having a baby out of wedlock. Here I'm going to jump ahead just a little bit since I'm on this topic, but one of the things we can do to have an impact is we need to teach our kids. We need to teach our kids the proper place of sex. That sex is a gift. It is a beautiful gift from God within context, confines, within the covenant of a marriage. And it's a gift, but it has a purpose and it has constraints, but we need to teach our kids that. Well, not only is abortion destructive to babies and to mothers, to families, and relationships, as I was describing, it is destructive to our nation, our culture, to the society that we live in. People sometimes, they say, "What? Why does this bother you so much? What's the big deal?" Well, I have 8 children. You have children. We have to live in this nation, in this country that is under the wrath of God because of it, right? And then just logically, just think, if you saw, you're at Walmart, and there is a child, a little baby, in a car, it's 90 degrees, and the windows are up, the parents aren't there, you'd bust out that window if you had to, wouldn't you? If you, one of your neighbor kids or one of your children, you'd do anything to protect them. If a dog was attacking a child, you would try to protect that child. It is our business. But as I read in Psalm 106 again, it defiles, pollutes the land. It brings judgment upon us. In the 60s, many of you lived through that. I was born 62, but we had a choice. There's that sexual revolution, go that direction, go the way of God, and our nation, as you know, chose very poorly. We have no-fault divorce. Sexual immorality is rampant. The LGBTQ plus stuff taught in our schools. Pornography is a multi-billion-dollar industry. You just see what happened. We just got on that slippery slope down, down, down. And we have abortion on demand. You just want abortion, go right on in there. And if it doesn't stop, and I believe maybe abortion is going to end if we stand up. But if we don't, and it keeps going this direction, we're going to have post-birth abortions that you can abort a child weeks, months after the baby's born. People have talked about that. People in high places. I just read this quote yesterday. Somebody said, "America must end abortion, or abortion will end America." And a lot of people, they'll say things like, if we end abortion, you're going to have these back alley abortions. Isn't that better? That's where death and murder should take place, in back dark alleys, not out in the open. Well, where do these abortions take place? They take place right here in Springfield on Bruns Lane at a place I've mentioned it several times now, Planned Parenthood. We call it Planned Murderhood. The Child Sacrificing Center, we have all sorts of names, you know, we call this wicked place. Here we are hearing about defund the police. No, don't defund the police. Defund Planned Parenthood. It's the worst place. Planned Parenthood is the worst place in Springfield. It's worse than, you know, imagine the seedy bars, the strip clubs, drug houses, flop houses, whatever you call them. no place is worse than Planned Parenthood. That is where people can schedule to actually just systematically murder someone. So I believe Planned Parenthood is the worst organization on the planet. It's the devil's organization. It's Planned Parenthood is the number one provider of abortions in the world. So Planned Parenthood, hitting this home, it is a place of violence. It is a crime scene. I think everybody involved, you might disagree with something I'm about to say, but I believe everybody involved should be arrested. The doctor, the nurses, the techs, even the receptionist answering the phone. These escorts that stand out there and escort women in, I think they all should be arrested. Guess what? I think the mothers should be arrested. Okay. Now, before I even, Marla knew how strongly I felt about this, I asked her. I said, Marla, what do you think? Should mothers be arrested for having an abortion? And she just immediately, would a mother be arrested if she killed her 1-year-old or her 2-year-old? Of course she would. Of course. We've got to think right. Well, a few dirty little secrets about Planned Parenthood, kind of the real face of Planned Parenthood. They are complicit with sex trafficking, the exploitation of underage girls. Maybe you know this, they're involved in the selling of body parts. It's all about the money. And if you don't believe me, there's that group, Veritas Project. They do these undercover videos. You can watch the videos and see where they're talking about these things. They've been exposed. Now, Planned Parenthood has a history of racism. Do you know 79% of these clinics, they're in black neighborhoods, sometimes Hispanic neighborhoods. Abortion is the number one killer of blacks, of African Americans. They make up 13% of the population, but a huge percentage of the abortions. I heard it said, I think this is accurate, more black babies are aborted than born. Their founder, have you heard this? Her name was Margaret Sanger, one of the worst racist people that ever lived. She's right up there with Hitler and Stalin. She had connections with the KKK. She believed colored people, that's what they would use, the language they would use. Colored people, she said this, are like weeds, human weeds that need to be exterminated. That's what she said. Remember when Hillary Clinton was saying all these good things about Margaret Sanger? But she believed in selective breeding and essentially that blacks were unfit to live. And guess what? Planned Parenthood is fulfilling her vision. They really, really are. Now I'm going to kind of just briefly describe a little bit what it's like to be involved and go to Planned Parenthood. Want to say right out of the gate, Josh, I really appreciate you, brother. Josh was the one that got us, he was that spark that got us going to Planned Parenthood. And I think the very first time he was there, a baby was saved that day. Isn't that something? And then now Celeste and Dorothy are coming. And you guys are such a blessing. You ought to see Celeste. She's got her picture of Liam, her little grandson. Those girls are pulling in and she's like, you know, look at this beautiful baby. And the first time Celeste and Dorothy were there, Celeste was right by my side. The lady comes out and she rolls down the window and she, I can't do this. Tears streaming down her eyes. I can't kill my baby. I can't do it. And we were able to minister to her and give her some gospel literature and bless her and talk to her and tell her how proud we are that she made the right decision. Of course, you got this escort guy saying, don't listen to anything he's saying. Don't listen to him. And here I'm saying all these wonderful, I'm so proud of you. It's just such a contrast. What you have light and you have darkness. Light and darkness, and it's going like this. It is clashing out there. And there's sparks. I don't want to make too much of this, but Josh, you of course know, Our lives have been threatened. We've been assaulted. We've been spit on. We've had stuff thrown at us. We've been called every name in the book because we're just standing for life. We're wanting to do what's right and bless these women. And we tell them we will do anything we can do. We'll do anything. Pay medical bills. We'll adopt a child. No excuses. We'll do anything we can do to bless you and to help you. Well, believe it or not, I think we've had about, maybe on the high end, but 10 babies that have been saved. And it's such a blessing to have Celeste there. And we were so thrilled that day. Remember that? How wonderful that was. It feels so good when a child is saved. But we know there's been numerous. I had a lady, she pulled up there in the parking lot. She rolled down her window and she said, "Because of you guys, I didn't do it. I didn't do it." So what a blessing. So it is difficult. It's depressing. It's my, I feel drawn to it. I need to go. Josh does too. Sure you do too. We need to stand up and fight against this, but it's hard to know, what's going on in this place. And these young men, they get upset. A lot of times they get very upset with us. I mean, their conscience is bothering them. They know it's wrong. They've already got murder in their heart. They're taking these women to go and to have, kill their baby. There's already murder there, and it's not too big of a stretch for them to want to, murder us. But we've got two desires when we go out there. It's a rescue mission. We want to see mothers saved. We want to see souls saved, and we want to see babies saved. It's just that simple. I don't want to die. I don't want to die, go into eternity, and know about this was going on during my lifetime, this horrific thing, and I really didn't do much to fight against it. I don't want to go into eternity with that. Now I'm going to just give you a few things I think we can do, and I'm wrapping up here to stop abortion. Just some things, guys. I was a principal teacher for a lot of years, and giving these assignments to the kids, I like to give do this, and I encourage you, do this. Go to YouTube. It's easy, and just type in 180 movie. 180 movie and watch it. It's 33 minutes long. It is amazing. It is powerful. Ray Comfort, some of you have heard of him, talking to these women and people out on the street and how he can change their mind about abortion. So that would be good for you. Watch that. We need to get more informed. The church needs to be more informed of what's going on. That's why I'm doing this right now. And then this would be such a blessing to you. If you watched Gianna, remember I mentioned her early on. She's that young lady that survived an abortion amazingly. And there's been a lot of speculation how that happened with the amniotic fluid and that saline solution coming in. But she survived. And she goes around and she speaks against abortion. Well, she gave a 16-minute talk, Gianna, with a G, Jessen, at the Parliament in Australia. 16 minutes. And I'm not kidding you, I think it was the most powerful speech I've ever heard. I don't mean pro-life speech or, the most powerful speech I've ever heard. But it's 16 minutes long. Get on YouTube, type in Gianna Jessen, Parliament, Australia, it'll come up. One of the things we need to do, we've got to pressure elected officials. Local, national level. We've got to only vote for people that are pro-life. And I don't mean just kind of throwing out, you guys, are you conservative? Are you Republican? Oh, okay, yeah, pro-life. I'm pro-life. No, I mean people who are really against abortion and are willing to stand against it and do something. Find out who those people are, support them. Guys, we could go to city council meetings. You can go to city council meetings and speak against abortion. You hear about these sanctuary cities with the immigrants for them that they can have a sanctuary city. We can have sanctuary cities for babies. Let city council decide no more abortions in this city. And we can put pressure on officials. But we've got to be courageous. We've got to be bold. We've got to quit worrying about what other people think about us. Really, I'm serious. When your friends, your family, your coworkers, love them. Be Christian and kind and those things. But when it comes to this kind of stuff, don't worry about what they think about you. Stand up and tell them the truth about the abortion. Tell them the truth about the gospel. But be courageous. I don't know if Pastor said this. I don't know if I made it up in my own mind. But I like it. I don't know if it was just deep down in there, but courage encourages other people to be courageous. I like that. We need to be courageous. People around you, man, that person, they really mean it. And they'll get emboldened. Talk to your family. Talk to your friends. Speak against it. Give them the light of the gospel. And really, jumping ahead, but that's the solution. The ultimate solution to this atrocity, Holocaust, whatever you want to call it, it's the gospel. It is the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, giving people the gospel. Why? Because that's what's going to transform their mind. The gospel preached to them, the gospel given to them, the gospel believed. It goes into their mind, their heart. Spirit transforms them. They're a new creation. They're born again. They automatically become pro-life. Isn't that something? Now, you can convince people with arguments and they can still be lost as can be and be pro-life. But if you give people the gospel, they get saved. They automatically, man, I believe the Bible now. I believe in God. I believe abortion is evil. Evolution, man, that's nonsense. But that's what happens when somebody gets saved. So give people the gospel. That's the solution. Everything changes in a person when they truly get saved. But jumping back, got ahead of myself. But Planned Parenthood, man, they are masters of twisting. That's what the devil does, right? He's a twister, a deceiver. He knows how to lie. But we've got to stop letting Planned Parenthood kind of control the narrative. They say, my body, my choice. That's just, you guys have heard that, right? My body, my choice. No way. That body inside your body is not your body, right? The body inside your body is not your body. It has a separate DNA. It's a separate person. Stop with the lie. That's a lie. But we've got to control the narrative. You don't have any right to kill. You don't. You're trying to play God. But we've got to rise up. And I think this church is doing it. I think our church, in a way, is on the move. Josh was that spark, and we're getting out there. We're preaching against it. Babies are getting saved. People are hearing the gospel. There's a lot of this conflict going on, right? We're interacting with the Catholics out there, forming good relationships with them. But I believe we're rising up. You've got Donna right here, right there. But do you know she's the director of a ministry? We'll mention that today. This Living Alternatives. And we support them. And pray for Donna, what she's doing. Right? Teresa's been involved for years, volunteered. Donna also, you're working with post-abortive people and counseling them. Pray. That is quite a ministry. Pray for us. Join us if you want to. Man, Celeste and Dorothy, you're such a blessing. It's so encouraging. They come out with us. If you want to do that, talk to me. Talk to Josh. But get involved. Get involved and do something. Now, I'll tell you this. I just wrote this down this morning, remembered. Marla's brother, Mike. If this happens, I'm saying this because if this happens to you, this is a good example. He heard about a family member who's going to have an abortion. This is Marla's brother. He's going to have an abortion. And he goes and he immediately talks to her and ends up offering. And even the child lived with him for a while. She went ahead and had the baby. And the child lived with Marla's brother. But if you hear about somebody that's going to have an abortion, no matter how distant, I mean, some friend of a friend, try to get a hold of them and say, oh, don't do this. We'll help you. We'll do anything. But offer yourself that way. Be willing to act and do something. Well, I'm going to close, but hopefully you've become a little more informed with what's going on, and hopefully you feel a little bit more passionate about it. I'm wanting you to see just how evil this is, and let's fight against it and do what we can. Proverbs 24 says, "Rescue those being taken to the slaughter." Lord, help us. Let's pray. Lord, we come to you. We're humbled. We're not self-righteous. We don't want to be self-righteous. We know we're guilty of so much sin. We are guilty. We want to love people. We humble ourselves. We ask that you help us to help others. Lord, fill us with your Spirit. Fill us with a desire to rescue the perishing. We love you, Lord Jesus. Have your way. Amen.